getting away or getting amongst it. Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy with the Holden Colorado. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hi, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Good afternoon.
Here we go, muchachos. Let's get ready to rumble. Jim Jefferies,
one of
my favourite regular guests, is on the show today, live from LA.
I can't wait. Let's go and bang on and have a chat with him.
There's so much happening in his
world.
There
is a lot.
We will get to the bottom of it, so hang about for that.
I've got a few bizarre travel updates, and one involves disgusting behaviour on airline seats.
Crikey.
People.
Does it involve me in any way?
No, you're very well behaved. You sleep through flights, but you're very well behaved.
It's like a time capsule, mate. I just wake up at the other
end. Very good. What else we got?
Well, what are Australia's most trusted brands?
Ooh.
There's a new survey out, and you won't be that surprised.
No.
A big hello to Karcher and the Holden Colorado.
Yes, two of our favourites.
Well, they're in my top 10 anyway.
Of course.
Don't you worry. What else? Okay. What constitutes good minimum chips?
Oh, this is a very, very important question.
It's a debate that rages. Everyone has an opinion. It's a personal taste. The expert, the man who has researched this, done a thesis on this.
He has.
Has letters after his name when it comes to minimum chips.
Brandon
Gatkin, can I buy another G? He has done all the heavy lifting in this department. We'll speak to him shortly and get your calls. Be prepared
because
to ring up
know.
And ask him.
I know where my favourite chips come from
in Australia. I need to see. It has to be in grease paper.
Yes.
And
yes.
It has to be coming through the grease paper.
Gotcha.
The vinegar.
You have vinegar.
Vinegar. All right, we'll get to the bottom of that. Obviously, there's bushfires raging around certain parts of the country. We'll speak to James Morris in New South Wales from the Regional Fire Service and get an update. The situation's pretty fluid, so we'll check in with him. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much more to get through.
There's a lot to get through.
Can I say, what did you get up to last night? Anything?
Last night, no, I was sort of just at home.
What is wrong with you?
Normal dinner.
So we had, yesterday was Remembrance Day.
Yes.
And we were talking on the show all day, and we got a great response from our listeners. And we had Matt on, who does the battlefield tours.
McLaughlin.
And we said, well, you know, what's one of the things you can do? He said, you know what, go and do some research or,
right.
You know.
He did say
that's interesting as anything. So last night, and I've been meaning to watch this for a while. I thought it's Remembrance Day. I'll go home and Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings Peter Jackson, New Zealand's Peter Jackson, one of the great directors of the modern era, has done a doco about World War One called They Shall Not Grow Old. Now, what is remarkable about this doco is it comes to life because you're so used to seeing this black and white footage, this jumpy black and white footage on these battlefields.
It's hard to relate to.
And you've never seen anything else. Well, what he's done is he's put it up on blocks. He's reconfigured the film. He's colourised it.
Oh,
and I swear to you, for the first time ever in history, you are looking at living, breathing people you could recognise this sitting in this room.
In World War
One, in trenches.
Good
and
God.
It was just an incredible thing. And you had to keep reminding yourself what you're watching, because you can't. And he does a very clever thing where it all starts off in black and white with the historical footage you used to seeing, and then it just colorizes it settles down and it's into the normal rhythm like you're watching film.
No way.
It's one of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen.
What did you watch it on? What was that on?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
So you can watch it on Netflix. I suggest you go and do it. And he chronicles it through another very good thing. He takes you on the whole journey. So you start off in the camp, you know, as kids are being recruited, and then he's got footage of the training camps. Then he's got footage of them actually hitting France.
You've
got footage of them being blown to bits.
Jesus.
And being swamped, and he does it in a way. They're the most beautiful characters, some of the most remarkable young men, if not a bit naive, but of such great character.
One
and
of the
so
frames
young,
you're showing me
so young.
That's spinning me out. I'm just looking at the frame. They've got half of it in black and white and half it in colour, the same group of people. But here's the thing, they're all laughing. What's there's they've got tin sort of containers on the table, but they put flowers in.
Okay.
So they're sitting at a table with vase of flowers. That must have been
amazing thing.
to make it feel a bit more
Well, there's a bit of that going on, but you'll be blown away by the youth. I think it was all a big adventure for them, I think.
Oh my God,
it was, and maybe circumstances at home weren't great to begin with, so it wasn't like... I think there was a bit of deflation at the end of it about having to go back to incredible unemployment and poverty.
Depression.
Normality.
The circumstances from, the shelling stops and then guess what? The gas comes. And then you go, you have 3 seconds to put on your gas mask. And one of the great quotes, I never saw a man partly gassed. And then after that, it would flood, and then you'd get gangrene.
Right.
And then you'd be attacked in the middle of the night by the fattest rats in the world, and they're fat because they're dining out on what's probably 40,000 dead bodies in a in a stream. Anyway, lots going on. It's not like Dad's Army. It's not like Dad's Army.
No.
But can I say, if you want to,
that's a great recommendation.
Go and get it out and hang in there. As I said, it'll start off normal, but then you'll see this thing, and it's a truly remarkable piece of filmmaking.
Well, we've got other serious stuff happening.
All right.
And that serious stuff is bushfires.
There's
weather changes, there's winds changing, and we're going to get all the latest information for you.
After this, we're going to check in with James Morris.
We will.
Thanks to Holden Colorado, which is now back with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
An unprecedented fire threat today with catastrophic danger ratings in place for parts of New South Wales.
Fires are also burning in Queensland and South Australia.
Fire officials say they have not seen a fire scenario quite like this in 40 years.
The reality is conditions will simply continue to get worse and to deteriorate when the combination of the hotter temperatures, the drier atmosphere and the strengthening winds all come together.
3,000 firefighters on the ground, particularly around the fringes of Sydney.
By now, you should have a bushfire survival plan. It's important to put that plan into effect.
We didn't have the equipment to do anything, so we decided to come back to the showground because we'd put our caravan here in anticipation of having nowhere to live.
Can I thank all of the fireys, our hard-working fireys, our rural fire service, everybody who's on the ground, for everything that you're doing.
This is a long haul. This is a marathon for us with sprints in between. We're managing our fatigue of our people.
We need to make sure every community member takes the opportunity to assess their situation and act with precaution in every possible manner.
And with 13 fires at emergency level right now, we cross to the Rural Fire Service of New South Wales spokesperson James Morris. James, that's a pretty severe number of fires burning at emergency state.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jane. It certainly is. We've got 13, as you mentioned, which is just behind what we saw a couple of days ago where we had 17 fires, which is the most we've ever seen concurrently across New South Wales ever, especially since these fire danger ratings were introduced back in 2009.
People are asking and wanting to know when they're not directly around the area, is there a cool change on the way and is that going to help or hinder?
Look, unfortunately, that change that is slowly coming up the coast is certainly going to hinder operations. Obviously, now we've got a number of significant fires burning across the state. Once this change comes through, it will push those fires in a new direction towards the north. So the quicker these fires run to the east, it means we're going to have a bigger head of the fire that will change once we see that southerly change. So we've got fire fronts around 300 to 400 metres wide, but once we see these travel in excess of potentially 10, 15 kilometres, we're then going to have a 10 to 15 kilometre fire front once this southerly change comes through. So it's very important that people in and around the area remain vigilant, keep up to date. For those areas that aren't currently affected, that may be affected and north of these fire grounds later on, it is important now that you make that decision that if you would not stay and defend your home, now is the time to leave and go somewhere to a built-up area until those conditions have eased.
We started the day with 54 fires listed in New South Wales. We're now up at around 75. Are you satisfied that that may have hit capacity here?
Oh, Mick, look, not at this stage. Obviously, we're still seeing catastrophic conditions. Down on the south coast around Nowra has already hit catastrophic. They are seeing 34 degrees with around 6% humidity. Wind gusts of up to 80 kilometres per hour there. So still some fairly significant conditions yet to come. And obviously, we're still not over it. Once this southerly change does come through, that, yes, will cool the temperatures down, but these fires will then very much become wind-driven and obviously cause issues throughout the night.
Well, there's 55 fires still burning in Queensland as well, and hundreds of schools across both states are closed today. How are the firefighters coping? And they must be absolutely buggered.
Oh, look, our firefighters and the support that we've had from interstate, they're just absolutely exhausted. Obviously, we've been seeing fires right across New South Wales for a number of months now. Since early August, we've had significant bushfires burning, especially up around Glen Innes and Tenterfield. But look, the support that we've had, especially from our firefighters around New South Wales coming in to support locals, as well as our international and national support that we've had, is just amazing. And we're certainly ready for anything that's thrown our way over coming days.
You have. You learn a lot about people when they're under pressure, and we can't be more proud of our firemen and women and our emergency services. Okay, there's a cool change coming in. It'll redirect where the fires are going. Who needs to be on alert now, who probably isn't as we speak? Who needs to be preparing?
Look, as we've been pushing for the last 24 hours or so, it's anyone who is in bushfire-prone area, especially with these conditions. If you do not want to be there, if a fire was to start and threaten your home, now is that time to leave to a built-up area, as we mentioned earlier, until those conditions have eased, whether that's throughout the night into tomorrow.
And is there a time frame for these? Is it, James, is it like go now, grab your photos, grab your pets and jump in the car?
Look, it's very careful. We want to make the message clear. Obviously, for these areas that are currently under threat, the message is to seek shelter as that fire approaches and protect yourself from the heat of the fire. For those areas that are outside of those alert areas that we've sent out, now is that time to make that decision. We don't want people to panic or rush.
All right.
But know that it's very important to make that decision early. And yes, as we said, leave. That change is not going to come through quickly. That change will likely still continue through that north coast early into tomorrow morning. So it is something that will take a protracted period to get through. And this is what we want people to be cautious of and not return until those conditions at some stage tomorrow have eased.
And James, how can people keep updated with info, because it's a pretty fluid situation and it's changing probably even as we speak now. Where can people go to be updated?
So the most important way, we say, look, don't use one tool, use many tools of information. The first one we obviously promote is the Fires Near Me New South Wales smartphone application that you can download for any smart device, and you can set watch zones. And it's important that you set those watch zones for the areas that either you live in or that you're concerned about, because they will send push notifications when those fires are upgraded to watch and act or emergency warning, or if we need to send out very vital information about dangerous fire conditions.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a number of other areas such as the RFS website or the bushfire information line, which you can call 1-800-679-737.
James, we'll let you go. James, you're really busy. You're doing a great job yourself, and we'll make sure that we have all that information on all our social media as well here at Triple M.
And appreciate the work that you guys are doing to get the message out. Thanks, Mick. Thanks, James.
Pleasure.
No worries.
And in Queensland, we're not talking to anyone right now on the ground in Queensland, but it's similar to yesterday. We've got 55 fires burning in Queensland with a blaze at Cobra Ball near Yeppoon, still uncontrolled. Schools across the state are closed. Anyway, it's a watch and act kind of scenario in Queensland, who are looking towards having a horrific day tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there it is. Okay, we're up to speed. Stay safe to everyone in those areas.
You got it, rfs.nsw.gov.au. And a shout-out to all our Triple M's in Coffs Harbour, Port Macquarie, Newcastle and the Central Coast, who are taking local programming this afternoon to keep their communities up to date with the fires as well.
Indeed.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
So what's a minimum chips? Melbourne-based chip enthusiast Brandon Gatkin's been busy cataloguing prices and quantities of minimum chips and posting his findings and pics on Instagram.
I'm very serious about chips. Very keen on becoming Australia's number one chip reference point. Would love to go further abroad. Got the travel scales ready to go to weigh the chips on the travel.
To help define what constitutes an order of minimum chips, please welcome to the show, Brandon Gatkin's.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
Good, Mick. Yourself?
Yeah, good. How did you get caught up in this caper? What, you got a bad one day, or
like
you got
a
dodgy minimum chips? What happened?
Like all good conversations, it started at the pub.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Was it a furious argument about?
It started off very basic and then got very, very emotional.
Talk us through how it started.
So two questions for everyone. Mm-hmm. How much should you pay for minimum chips, Mick?
Well, look, I mean, these days, I'm going to say between $2 and $3.
Jane?
I'd say about $3.
$3?
$3.50.
How many people should it feed?
I would say two. Two comfortably.
Yes, two. Well, yes. Or one if I'm really greedy.
Now, you ask everyone those two questions and they have different answers.
They do have different answers.
And what's the prevailing wisdom?
It's different. I had big opinions on where the chips were going to come from and which chipo I could go to get the biggest chips.
So did you decide to undertake a study then?
100%.
Okay, that's how you became an expert in minimum. And you've
potato
got,
enthusiast.
And I've just followed
it's fluid,
you.
Isn't it? There's no standardisation issue. How would you do it? Because there has been calls, believe it or not, I believe this to be true, because it's a kind of socio-economical indicator, as you pointed out.
You would expect.
You expect. So do you suggest in your studies that it differs from suburb to suburb?
Yeah, we've all been to some of the more affluent suburbs where the chip shops get a little bit more fancy in there.
And what do they load up or they underserve?
You would expect they underserve, but no, some of the best serves I've had are from, some of the wealthiest
suburbs.
And how do you know that? So do you weigh them?
I weigh the chips.
So you go, where are you doing this when you purchase the chips?
No.
So you're like a food critic. They don't know you're there.
You're undercover.
You're incognito.
I use a fake name just in case they've had a look
so
at the paper.
I've just
followed
you.
Phone? Do you book on the phone or do you book in?
Book on the phone.
Book on the phone. I've just followed you on Instagram, Brandon, and just look at this, Mick. It's just got all these pictures of
chip
minimum
porn.
Chips.
It's
chip porn. You're correct.
Okay, another question without notice. The paper, should they come in a paper or should they come? Because I hate the box. I think the box is good on you, Dave.
You're welcome. Yeah, he's a box man.
Because you're organised. No. I find the box intrusive. No, I want to see them dumped on a salt shaker and some vinegar, and you wrap them up.
Until
you soak the grease paper. Agreed?
Get rid of the box, get rid of the tray, just paper, white paper, wrapped up.
Now, should you pay for salt or chicken salt or sauce?
Should get your choice of salt, should never pay for sauce. Paying for sauce, nah.
It's un-Australian.
It's un-Australian.
Okay. Vinegar as well, is people, yes
vinegar
or no?
Vinegar at home, it's a personal preference.
Lemon, that's another thing too.
Lemon, they can chuck a lemonware gin if you order the fish.
Have you ever been to a mass-produced outlet and enjoyed a chip?
Yeah, you mean like a take-away?
Certainly, I know where you're going.
Well, have you ever? It's like, is there a brand? Is there a KFC or is there a thing that?
KFC chips.
KFC chips have got to be the best
chicken salt
of the mass produced. 1-333-53 Get on the phone. We've got a minimum chips expert in here. One of the other questions, which I love, is how many potato cakes is enough that you should receive a free one?
Again,
have you had this argument?
I have this argument almost weekly.
Okay.
My opinion, you order four, you should get five.
I'm 100% with you.
Is it like
a
baker's dozen?
You order double figures, two more.
Oh, two more.
Two more, or the little crispy one that they can't sell independently.
Chuck it in.
What about return trade? Do you think there should be some acknowledgement that if you're coming in once a week or if you're a regular, you're going to be...
Every Friday night, they'll chuck in.
We get lots. We have a regular one that we go to, and
tell me who's yours regular.
All right, well, there's a couple. I have ones in the city, ones in the country. But I'll go countrywide. In Victoria, it's a place called Fish Fetish, and they're in Sorrento in Victoria, and they have the best chips. Ever.
Look at our phones are blowing up already.
And I better say Beluga also is another one in Melbourne.
Beluga whale.
Beluga has excellent fish and chips and great service.
What's the best fish with your fish and chips? Oh, well,
it's flake.
Oh, it's flake.
It's flake.
There is no other fish.
It's battered flake.
Well,
that's it.
I'm not sure we're allowed to say that anymore.
Oh, no, we're not.
Aren't we?
Well,
we're allowed to say gummy shark, aren't we? can still say flake.
You can have flake. Yeah. I think it's a...
Take your barramundi and shove it if you're going to batter it. You don't batter barramundi.
It's got to be battered. You don't go fried.
No, everything's got to be fried. That's the thing. Yeah. Scallops, fry them up.
Scallops fried, fish fried, Mars bars fried, the lot.
Dimmies. Okay, let's just take a call, for example. Let's go with Mark. Mark, you've got a question for Matt.
Yeah, basically, mate, what I do is I walk in and I ask for the minimum chips, right?
Right.
And then I say to them, righto, show me what an extra bucks worth. Say, ultimately, I want $6 of chips. I walk in, ask for $6, I just go scoop, scoop, bang, and I'll get whatever I get.
Yeah.
And I ask for the minimum, and then they've physically got to go back for each dollar I tell them I want more. I get double the amount.
Work smarter, not harder.
Okay.
That's clever.
You've really thought about that, Mark. That's very interesting.
You've probably sent a couple of them broke with your minimum chips.
We should point out too, Brandon, that the term minimum chips is not Australia-wide, is it? Would they know what we're talking about in Perth?
Perth maybe, Darwin maybe.
Minimum chips. I think either they have large, small, or medium as well. So there's only a couple of states that use the term minimum chips.
133353. Our phones are blowing up. Any questions? Any observations regarding a minimum chips, which is a great Aussie?
Oh, I mean,
that should be a MasterChef thing.
Talk minimum chips
after this.
Here's an episode.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Brandon Gatkins is with us. Minimum Chips Melbourne is the Instagram account that you can follow. Talking about minimum chips, he takes a digital scale out with him when he goes to chip shops.
Do you ever count the chips?
Don't count the chips. It's been suggested.
So it's just weight. Weight is the...
We talked about how they've got to be hot, so they'd be cold by the time I count them all.
I'm fascinated too, and I would like someone from a fish and chip shop, if they want to call up, 133353. Why do all they... It's a standardised taste. Do you pre-cook the potatoes? How do you have them cut? Do you get them shipped in? Is there a chip factory somewhere in Australia that serves all the fish and chip shops? I have all these questions. What type of oil do you use?
Do you need to be a fat guy in a white T-shirt to work?
Do they still sell the pickled onions on the countertops?
They do. I had one last week.
They do sell them. Every chip shop's got the jar.
Historically, Brandon, you remember... Has anyone ever... Has anyone
never
in this
eaten
room
one.
Can
ever?
I just say, yes, they did.
What?
I'll tell you why. My Uncle Des Maskill, had a pickle onion factory.
Really?
Yes, and he sold his pickled onions, old Des's pickles, to fish and chip shops around the country.
Wow. All right,
I'm sure people remember those.
Can I say this too? And we make the point that I think historically most fish and chip shops I frequented were manned by migrants or the migrant community.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one of the first great mergings of cultures.
Definitely.
Was to place our hands, our trust in the hands of newly arrived Greeks and Italians and all these people who knew their way around a fish and chippery. Matt's on the line. Matt, you've got a question or an observation?
Yeah, a little bit of both. This is something that's right up my alley. We've got a couple of local fish and chip shops that have been sneaking in a half minimum chips. Now, I just don't get that.
How can you have a half of... minimum.
That then becomes a minimum.
I think that's what girls like to order, so it sounds better. I'll have a half minimum chips and a Diet Coke, please. That's probably what that's about.
And I like the grilled flake. No batter
flake. And the grilled flake, please.
Yeah, and then
they steal all the partners' dimmies and potato cakes. Thank you.
Good question. Paolo, how are you, mate? What's your question?
I actually remember when minimum chips was 5 cents, which would have been about 1975.
1975.
Five cents.
Well, is there such a thing as maximum chips, Brad?
Maximum chips? No, I think you can just go as big as you want, but it's in dollar amounts. Where do you go after you order the large? You too large?
Yes.
I want double large.
Double large. Too large.
These questions are great. Let's go to Paul. Hello, Paul. What's your you've been thinking about?
Yeah, look, this has been on my mind and only you guys could come up with this. It's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
The quantity and the quality and the day of the week doesn't have a bearing through this study because I believe it does.
Good question. The day.
Brandon, what are your thoughts on this?
I haven't checked the day. Mm. However, the clubhouse leader on the Instagram for a little while was actually Good Friday. So I went into the chip shop and it could have been that they were just flat knacker and they just went
shoveling them through.
So day of the week or busyness.
So fish would determine what the best day of the week would be. It's like markets, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. So Monday would be a bad day because there's no fish markets open really on a Monday.
But there's no good day for potatoes. Right? Am I right?
There's no bad day for potatoes.
His glass half full.
By the way, you mentioned your Instagram site and we want to drive people to that. What is it?
Minimum Chips Melbourne, Mick.
Minimum Chips Melbourne.
Go on it now.
Get on board. Because you can continue this conversation for as long as you want.
Hello, Paul. Glenn. Oh, sorry, Paul.
Oh, is it Glenn? Is it? Sorry.
Oh, Glenn. Hello, Glenn.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. Tell us about your memories.
I'm with Mick on the wrapping in the newspaper because you dig into it, and when you get to the end, you think I've run out. You open it up, and there's a few mystery ones wrapped up.
There was always a couple of stragglers.
Yeah. And it just gives you that little egg, and they taste the best, those last ones.
Where are you calling us from, Glenn?
I'm originally from North Queensland on the Central Coast now, but I can just also just quickly remember an old Greek family that owned a fish shop. Yep. The old guy that ran it, he never wrote anything down. You could have 50 people in that shop.
He'd do it.
Memorise every order.
Oh, I love
that. He'd just hand it to the person. It was incredible. Yeah, it was really good.
Good.
That's
Brandon.
Fond memories growing up.
Good on you, mate.
We're going to give Glenn a prize, actually.
Give him a prize.
Oh, you're going to go see Iron Maiden. That's what you're
going
to
do. Well done. Brandon Christian without notice. The crab stick. Is there a place for it?
Not for me anyway. Maybe for the wife. No. Not for me. I've got the standard order. That's all it is.
No, Paul's on the line. Man. Paul, what would you like to ask?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good.
Fantastic. Big question. Big point of contention. It was many of my friends. The potato cake or the potato scallop? What's it called?
Depends which part of the country you're in. Am I right?
Exactly. I'm not prepared to start that war.
I grew up in Canberra as a boy, and that was a scallop.
Yeah.
And when I came here, I asked for a scallop,
and was
horrified when I got a scallop, and not a potato cake.
That's always been an interesting one.
I think
one.
We have to. It's
well, it's a line ball that one. It depends
wherever the locals are.
That's right. Go with the locals. Thanks, Paul. Hello, Graham.
Hello, how you going?
Yeah, good. Tell us about a fish and chip shop, you know.
There's a fish and chip shop in Cargo in country New South Wales.
Yeah.
$2 worth of chips will feed a family.
A family? Okay, so many of them.
Are they good chips, Graham?
Oh, it's just too many. If you gave her a fiver, you'd eat for a week, I reckon.
Best value for money you've seen?
Best value for money at the moment in Williamstown.
In Williamstown, and what is it? Minimum chips?
It was minimum chips. I think it was 689 grams or thereabouts for $4.50, paying about 53 cents per 100 grams.
Who's that minimum chips for? Matt Preston? We got time for one more quick one. Come on, Tom.
Hello,
boot
Tom.
This home. What's your question or observation?
Guys, I just heard Jane say old Des pickled onion.
Yeah.
Relation. My old man used to have a factory out in Coburg. He used to come home and eat a jar of those a week.
Well, I'm not making things up, am I?
What's minimum pickled onions?
I despise pickled onions for like half my life. And he snuck them into my diet and I just could not stop eating them.
Oh, and now you're hooked. Oh, I'm hooked too.
Right.
Nothing better than an old Des.
Good on you, Tom. Thank you. Brandon, how can people continue this conversation with you?
Jump on the Instagram, Minimum Chips Melbourne.
Minimum Chips Melbourne. But you can call from anywhere in Australia and get involved. There you go. Well played, sir. Thank you for coming in. Most illuminating.
Thanks, guys.
Well done. Coming up, Jim Jefferies, Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yep, Jim Jefferies around 15, 20 minutes away.
Cannot wait.
Live from LA, coming up on Kennedy Malloy.
Loads going on in his world right now. We'll get to the bottom of it all.
I love it when these lists come out, Mick.
So this is a ripper. Yeah. So it's a list of Australian public's most trusted brands. Bunnings has been named Australia's most trusted brand, followed by Aldi.
Mm.
And then Woolworths.
Wow.
Oh, cop that, Coles.
Was that done before the Woolworths scandal where they underpaid all their workers?
Yeah, that
might have to be
okay,
relegated.
Okay, yes, exactly. What is the timing of this?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not flash,
no.
Is it? So
Bunnings, yeah, I understand that.
Do you know why Bunnings is up there? Because they catch terrorists.
Oh, they do.
They catch terrorists. They're the first to go. Well, that's a highly unusual purchase.
That's three guys coming in buying a whole trolley worth.
And don't underestimate the love for anyone who'll give you a sausage.
It's the
way
magic.
To Australians' hearts is through a sausage sizzle.
And a really good jingle as well. I mean, it's just, you know.
The rough version.
You hear this and you're happy.
That is as good as it.
Yeah, and also as a big employer of more senior people, which is where I'm working out.
You had a go at Bunnings.
Oh, I did, because they all want a big chat.
Who was your beef? You said shut up and just give me my stuff.
But now I've realised it's not just Bunnings. Is everywhere I go. A bit like Kitty was telling us the other day.
Well, what is it? You don't like people talking to you?
You can't win. There's got to be a... I don't know.
Why are you in the hurry for? What's the rush?
What's wrong
Why
with you?
Why am I in a hurry?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Don't you like people? Do you like people?
Not really.
Stop and smell the roses for a sec.
I don't really like
them. Stop and smell the roses. Oh, the woman in the floral shop might talk to her.
Yes. Well, she's something interesting.
Bunnings say yes. Top
tick
of the
that.
Range.
Aldi, yes, because you know what? I still have so many girlfriends who are so silly they will not go into Aldi. They go, oh, I don't like Aldi. I go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're missing out.
I went in there once. And they had no bags or anything.
Well, you got to buy the
bags.
Well,
that's the thing. That's why they're cheap prices.
I'm standing there. They're going,
you've got to pick up a bag yourself.
You've got to pack it? Well, she goes, no. I go, you pack it.
Yeah.
In what?
Well,
mate, go get a thing. I go, what is this?
One time.
What kind of racket are you running here?
It is easy.
One time I went up to get some cereal and some zucchinis, and I came back with.
You live a hard life.
Yes. Oh, I'll tell you what I came back with.
A ski jacket.
No, I came back with an amp.
Like a guitar amp.
Okay, who do you think won that round? Aldi.
But
Aldi have got rid of an
amp.
Good.
That's German precision.
What are Aldi doing? Buying hot stuff at
the
pub.
Hot stuff. They have. You wait till they have their musical day and they sell musical instruments.
Yeah.
You get a drum kit.
Can you get a cowbell?
Yes.
Hello.
Because it's German.
Qantas. Qantas are trusted, not by me, until I get into this chairman's lounge.
Hang on, now listen.
Until I get into
Qantas are advertising
lounge.
With us, and that's a very silly thing
Qantas.
To say.
Yeah, but I want to get into the chairman's
lounge.
Well,
I've told you. You
give me a call, Joyce.
You're not going to get
in. Hey, Joyce, ball's in your court.
Just call him
Stop
Joyce.
It.
I will play hardball.
Don't you tarnish my chance of getting invited.
I'll take you down with me.
No, you will not.
If you ever get in and I don't,
I'm not going to tell you.
I will get you run out.
It's a secret.
We'll go to the airport together one
day. Well, I'll just say, pardon me, I'm just going in this door and you're going.
And watch me burn the joint down. Watch me.
You are a terrible person.
Toyota.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I always wondered about Toyota because, you know, they're obviously the signage on the back of their utes, but the bit of footage that went around the world, and I never got sick of seeing it, was it all the Taliban soldiers in the back of a Toyota ute with a massive Toyota on the back, and I'm going,
wonder
how they're feeling about that right now.
Well, hey, it's no Holden, Colorado.
On their way back from a beheading. Oh, well, the Holden.
And the Holden should be in there.
Come on.
The Karcher. The Karcher, where's that?
Hey, this is a good one. Give us a call, 133353. What's in your bin?
Oh, my God.
Do you know who should be trusted?
Oh, careful.
Durex.
They should be.
They make my dingers.
They've got one job.
I'd place it
extra small.
Don't stuff it up.
Dave.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Stay in touch. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all at Kennedy Malloy.
Facebook trusted? Wouldn't have thought so.
We're doing
the most trusted brands in Australia right now, as voted by the Australians and judged by research house Roy Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, Bunnings. Well done, Bunnings. Hard to have a beef with Bunnings.
Aldi.
Yeah, I find Aldi a little...
I understand why.
Woolworths, well, as you rightly point out, must have come out before they
ripped off
the news that they didn't pay their staff.
Yikes.
NRMA, my thing with NRMA and those services is I'd call them whether I need them or not just to get my money's worth. Do you know what I mean? You pay for a service.
Pay your membership.
Whether I need it or not, I like to get it.
That's interesting.
Qantas, Toyota, Kmart.
That's interesting about Kmart because, those stores, those larger stores, it's very good for them, are in a little bit of trouble.
You know my beef with Kmart? They take reasonably good pop songs and just bore you to death with them.
God,
so you go, that's a good song. And then I hear that song one more time?
Coles has done it again.
Going to kill you. So there it is. I think of brands like Rolex and I think of Rolls Royce. And those ones
they
where you
are
go,
solid. You're
you
right.
Are Esky.
Esky.
When you've got a brand name that the whole thing's named
that's
out
what it
after.
Is.
What about Penfolds wine?
It just always comes back to Penfolds for you, doesn't it? Oh. All right. Well, Tiffany's is a trusted brand.
Is a trusted brand for happiness.
But we thought we'd ask you, our listeners, who does it, who gets you across the line, who you place your hands in. Brett's on the line. Brett, who is it for you?
Mate, it's got to be Carlton United.
Give them out a prize,
Dave. Sure. Have you got tickets to our Movember Garage session to go see James Rain in Melbourne?
So. You will love that.
Brett,
Let's hope they've got the CD on tap.
Yeah.
Well, hell, they will indeed.
See what good luck Carlton United Brewing brings you.
Carlton United are great fans of the front bar, which is back with cricket.
Yes.
Well, we can't wait for
next Thursday.
Is it
next
already
Thursday,
next Thursday?
Nationally across Australia.
God.
Strap yourself in. There's a trusted brand, front bar.
The front bar, of course.
Of
front bar is.
Jason's on the line. Jason. Trusted brand.
It'd have to be Cadbury.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You'd really get a bad chocolate, I reckon.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I'm going to take you up on this.
What do you mean?
Here's my issues with Cadbury. What's happening with their packaging sizes?
Oh.
I reckon that. I reckon occasionally they just kind of...
You were very upset the other day. You came in, you said this...
I'm pretty convinced my cherry ripe was not
standard size. That's not
Cadbury.
No, it's not.
Cherry ripe. I apologise. Okay, what about this one? You told me that white chocolate's not chocolate.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
But they advertise it as white chocolate. No. Cadbury's white chocolate. Cadbury's 100%.
It's not made from chocolate beans.
Then why are they lying to me?
Because it can set like chocolate and looks like chocolate, but it's not chocolate.
So they're deceitful liars.
They're not deceitful liars. People just don't care that it's called this.
Well, then you can't call it chocolate if it's not chocolate.
Milk chocolate contains more milk and dairy fat than dark chocolate. White chocolate, which is white in colour, doesn't contain cocoa solids, so it's not chocolate. I told you that. Well, I'm sick of telling you.
because I never believe you. I go, how can they advertise it as chocolate if it's not chocolate?
Because they're I guess it's when people...
That's like milk. You can't say it's almond milk if it's not milk. It's not
the milk,
milk
of the almond.
Oh, cherry ripe is Cadbury, by the way.
Is it?
Oh, well, stand corrected. But I got one the other day, which, seriously, if there was a fish, I'd have to throw it back.
Really?
It was like, you go, that can't be.
It's better for you. That's any consolation.
It's not the topic.
Hello, David.
How are you, Jane and Mick? How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What's going on? Who's the most trusted brand?
Well, Dick Smith, he brought out his own brand of biscuits and cheese.
Cheese.
You know?
Jam.
Dick, what do they call it? Dick Jam, wasn't it?
Dick's Jam.
Okay.
Jesus.
David's
wanting something.
Hey,
Jesus.
I don't know
David.
If it's called
that. No, we've got time for one more. Jane's on the line. Jane, trusted brand for you?
Hi, Victor Law Knowers.
Now, do they still make Victors?
Oh,
but back in the day.
Yeah.
Zippity doo da, zippity day.
Is that the thing?
My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Yeah, where's the Victor part?
Whether it's sunshine or whether it's rain.
With my Victor. Marring my way.
It's a Victor.
Really?
Is it?
You're making that all up. Do you have a fever dream or something?
What?
I heard that before.
Hey, thanks, Jane.
You haven't supported
me
on any of
my... Oh, hang on.
I enjoyed it.
Hey, let's quickly go to Jordan. Jordan's got the most trusted brand. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how are you?
What's the most trusted brand, Jordan?
I would have to say Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
Malloy. Kennedy, jury's out on Kennedy. Well done. We've got to go.
Yes. Thank you,
everybody.
Stand by. Jim Jefferies to join us next.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And coming up in the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy, I may well be proved right in the great Victor controversy.
So annoying.
Of 2019.
I think we
may have an ad. We'll unearth it. We'll play it for you.
We'll get to that.
If it indeed exists. What else, Jane?
Travel stories abound. And I've got an interesting one about a woman who's gone on holiday around the world. And she doesn't have a partner, but she wants to have that iconic picture in front of statues and monuments. So she just cracks on to any bloke who's around and puts him in the photo.
I am going to hang out outside the Sydney Opera House all afternoon.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about.
And wait, we're going to take your calls and take your tweets. There's so much to get through, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
The last time Jim Jefferies joined us, Mick was away for the day and was covered by...
Layman. My assistant said, Mick's not in. They've got a guy called Layman.
Which is just slightly better than Lamo.
And he was pretty fired up about peanut allergy precautions.
It's like, have you been on a plane lately when they go, no one's having peanuts on this flight because there's someone with a severe peanut allergy? That's their problem. That plane has been flying all day back and forth. It's not like between the flights they de-peanut the thing, right?
Jim's about to embark on a huge European tour this December and set to wrap up season 3 of the Comedy Channel's hugely successful Jim Jefferies show.
I'm Jim Jefferies. I think we could all do better.
There's even talk of an NBC sitcom pilot in the works. So it's time to get the dirt on all this and more with the man himself. Live from LA, Jim Jefferies.
Hello, big fella.
Hello. Hey. Thanks for having me.
It's great to be back on deck and talk to you. Mate, you need to calm the farm. You're working too hard. You're making us all look bad. You're like that guy who goes to work and works harder than everyone else, so we all have to pick up our game.
Have you always been like that?
No, not. I'm not like, it's not like I'm Hugh Jackman or anything. You know, like Hugh Jackman was just at the Hollywood Bowl and people were like, he's doing a concert. And I went, I thought he was a bloody actor. And now he's singing Peter Allen songs to a whole lot of Americans.
He's a quadruple threat. Would you ever do that yourself, or incorporate a bit of song and dance into your live show?
We know you can sing, Jim. You got good pipes.
I used to be able to sing. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't submit the audience. I'm working on putting some comedy into it.
Yeah. Handy.
Let's start with your European tour coming up, because first and foremost, your first love, and I'm sure that's what it says on your passport, stand-up comedian. This is a European tour. Some of the Hungary, England, Ireland, Prague, Belgium, Netherlands. Do you tailor them specifically to these shows? Do you do your homework on these countries? What are you going to do in Hungary?
I'll watch the news that day and go, geez, that Prime Minister of yours is no good. What's he been up to?
Ireland, a lot of potato gear, obviously.
You guys, you probably want some potatoes. You're probably pretty hungry, aren't you? Yeah, I do a bit of that stuff.
Prague? What were you doing in Prague? Yeah. It's a beautiful city.
Prague. It is a nice city. I like the... I don't know. I've been to Prague once, but I was drunk the whole time. I went when I was like 22. I don't know if I can remember it.
Which of the countries haven't you been to that you're looking forward to going?
I've never been to Greece, but I have been to Melbourne, so I think I've got a feel of the place.
What about Norway?
I've done plenty of gigs in Norway.
Have you really?
And done loads of gigs in Scandinavian countries.
You've slept with a few of their women, I understand.
I try to, but it's not going to happen. You go over there and the girl in the count behind the counter looks like, you know, Anna Kournikova serving you at McDonald's, and you're like, you're not meant to work here. Why don't you move to Ireland? You'll be running the place in a week.
They'll speak English. That's the one of the keys.
What about Belgium? Now, Belgium, you've got to go, I'm guessing, either chocolate or dungeons. What are you doing?
bad things chocolate. Happen in Belgium. Chocolate.
That's why they invented the chocolate. I'll go strictly for the beers, mate. The beers. No.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Germany, have you got much German gear?
I've never done a gig in Germany, but I did go out to the World Cup in 2006 with my father in Germany. That was pretty good. I don't really have a story to go along with that, but that was all right.
But the Germans aren't notorious for their stand-up comedy.
They're not
comedy circuit.
They're not known for their comedy. They're not known for it.
I wanted to ask you just out of the blue, keeping up with Kanye West and his current escapades and his run for president in 2024.
It's actually on, is it?
It is. Do you know, I'm seriously think it's going to happen. But no, I'm concerned that the mantle may be passed by Trump. You know, there might be some deal that will be made.
Yeah, I think that it could happen. Like, before Trump, you thought it couldn't happen. No, but his wife would have a better chance. His wife's a reality star. She's got all the credentials.
That's right.
Would she be the best first lady in the history of Kim Kardashian, first lady?
I mean, honestly.
Trump and Kim have the same size ass, so they can at least swap that out. That'll be ready to go.
All right, mate. Hey, can you hang around? We want to ask you about this new show on NBC, which sounds great, and, of course, your next episode of Jim Jefferies' show. Hang about, mate.
No worries.
Jim Jefferies is with us.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jim Jefferies is with us live from LA. By the way, his final show is going to air on the Comedy Channel next Wednesday, the 20th of November.
What are the big topics, mate? What are you going to cover in depth to finish the season?
The last one, I think we're just going to show a highlight reel. Do one of those episodes, like of a sitcom where we all get stuck in an elevator, so we all chat about the past.
Remember that time.
Lots of flashbacks.
Now, this week we're talking about atheism for a bit.
Is religion and its connotations a subject that you like addressing? It's because it's one of the big ones, sex, politics, religion.
I used to do it a lot in stand-up, but it became a little bit hacky to mention it because every stand-up was an atheist. Like going, I'm an atheist wasn't a very bold statement. But I don't like the term atheist. I think there shouldn't be a term for not believing in something. There's no term for not believing in Bigfoot. You know what I mean? The people who do believe in Bigfoot, we have a name for them. They're called nut jobs, right? And then the ones who don't, they're just regular people.
No, you're right. But also a lot of, nearly all stand-up comics are smart people. So that's why they're atheists, I gather. There's the link.
Is there a group, and I imagine you're wading into, in America anyway, some fairly fragile territory there. Is there a group of people that generally you find are offended the most or that you have the most trouble identifying with?
It's still the gun people for me. It's the people. And it's also the Americans refuse to have health care. They think it's a nasty thing. That blows my mind.
Really?
You go like, imagine if you got sick and you broke your leg and then the government just paid for it. They go, oh, I don't want the government wrapped up in my health.
What? I don't understand. Yeah.
And in America, it's like taking your car in. They go, are you doing this on insurance? Like when you get something fixed, they go, all right, it costs 50 grand. You go, I'm paying for myself 5 grand. The only doctors that are honest in America are plastic surgeons because you can't get it on insurance.
Oh, wow.
Why is it 7 grand to get a wisdom tooth out but 9 grand to get a set of tits? Like it seems like that would be a comparative thing.
I get that indeed. The other topic I see is you're going to talk about cultural appropriation on tomorrow night's show. Please discuss.
Well, it's the whole idea of, like, kids wearing... Like, so in Japan, there's a whole lot of people who want to be black, and they call it B-styling, where all the Japanese kids are trying to be more urban, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I've decided that if a culture's not using something, they lose it. You know what I mean? So, if you're still wearing... Like those Asian people who wear the slanty hats in the rice fields, they still use those. You can't wear one of them.
Okay.
But I say sombreros are open slather. You can have... sombreros, no one wears one anymore.
That's right.
They're a terrible garment to drive in the sombrero.
That's right. I never saw El Chapo getting around in a sombrero. So
I'm going to give the Americans our one with the corks on it. No one uses the cork thing.
They're not never enough of those.
That would be right.
All right, well, hang around, Jim. Jim Jefferies is with us. More with Jim. We'll take a break right after this on Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And the great Jim Jefferies live from LA joins us right now too. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And I need to ask you, mate, there's rumours of a new show. Have you done the deal for a sitcom with NBC? Now, this is the big time.
Yeah.
This is Seinfeld territory.
Yeah, I'm doing a pilot for NBC about my life, and it's going to be a guy who has a late-night talk show, is a single dad, et cetera, et cetera. But what I realised was, as I was writing, and my dad's going to come and stay with me for a while for the next couple of months, so I thought, what we'll do is we'll have the character, he'll have his dad live with him, and he'll have a job where he talks down radio. I've just rewritten Frasier.
It's ringing some bells.
And that was on NBC. I realise now why they like it so much. They're going, we like this. This is something we could see.
Oh, wow.
A less posh Frasier. That's
what it's just simply called Jefferies, I think it could be.
Jefferies.
It's funny. They go, who do you want to play your dad? And I said, Mel Gibson be good. It'll get us a bit of press.
Yeah.
You know, people would want to do that. And I ring me dad up and he goes, oh, yeah, I like that Mel Gibson. Then me dad rings me up a couple of days later and he goes, I've thought of some other people. He goes, how about Harrison Ford? He's good at everything.
This is too surreal, Jim.
In my last sitcom, my dad had George Lazenby playing. That was the thing. My dad, my dad was walking around the bowling club going, James Bond.
Correct.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Yes,
right?
Please.
One time on my show, I wanted to have a sketch where I rang up Paul Hogan for Father's Day and we were going to act like he was my dad.
Yep.
And I was going to ring up and go, hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. I love you. And then he would never say I love you back. That was going to be the sketch.
Yeah.
We rang him up. And then we get a phone call back from Paul Hogan. We're all sitting around a speakerphone. And I go, hello, Hogs. I'm excited just to say Hogs to him.
Yeah.
You know? And he goes, yeah, Jim, I've watched some of your stand-up and this is all good and everything. He goes, the problem I have with the sketch is people will know that I'm not your father. And I said, yes, Paul. It's a sketch. And then he goes, because I was in a pretty big movie and people remember me from that.
Jim.
And he goes, maybe I could play like your uncle. And I went, they know you're not my uncle as well.
Well, he would be good casting as your dad in a...
Look,
in a
I cannot wait to find out who ends up being cast as...
How's the guy from The Castle doing? You guys are connected.
Yeah, Michael Caton, he's doing well. Yeah, why don't you give
Michael
him a buzz?
Caton.
That'd be great.
Yeah, the problem is I want the show to go for a few seasons. If I get the actor
too old,
might not make it. So who's the guy of Cocktail? I'll get him. Brian Brown.
Brian Brown. Yeah. He's a great bloke. He'd be perfect.
He would be great.
He would be fantastic.
He'd be up for it too.
He would come around and sleep on your couch.
Yeah, he would.
I guess. Hey, can I ask you just before we go, the sitcom, it's a tough genre, a great one to crack. Looking back, there's been some rippers. Is there ones that you growing up that you loved or that you admired?
I liked Cheers and I liked Seinfeld and I don't
It's Gary Shandling. Did you ever remember It's Gary Shandling show?
I like Gary Shandling, the Gary Shandling show. Yeah, that's similar to what I'm doing because he had a late night show. Yep. I like Friends enough.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Friends, they didn't go very multicultural, did they?
No. But on reflection, no.
Diversity wasn't an issue.
Yeah, because it was in the middle of America. There's no multiculturalism in New York. Where would they ever found a black person?
It wasn't in Hogan Heroes category, which was a sitcom set
in a war camp.
Have you ever seen the one from the BBC? Look at this one online. They had this. There's a pilot of this. This sitcom exists. It was called Heil Honey, I'm Home. And it was about Hitler. It's a multicam where, like, Hitler enters the room and everyone goes, woo! And he's living with Ava Brown, right? And they have Jewish next-door neighbours. How will they ever get along? I'm not making this up. The whole pilot is online. It ruined. Executives got fired. Everyone lost their job. It was like the worst thing ever.
Beautiful, mate. Hey, listen, always great to catch up with you, Jim. Good luck with all your endeavours. Well, hopefully speak to you. And I want to know what you're going to do in Budapest. I've no idea what you're up to.
I've got lots of material for those Budapest people.
Vienna, ask them about their slice. Thank you. Good night. All right, Jim. Thanks, mate. The Jim Jeffries show tomorrow night. Get on board.
See you, Jim. Good on you.
On the Comedy Channel.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Fasten your seatbelt.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Are we there yet?
We get there when we get there.
Kennedy Malloy's Travel News.
There you go. Righto. Hello, Marshy.
Just saying an intro and off and running.
I think I found something that you might like to do for a holiday.
Okay, fire away.
Well, Virgin Voyages has launched and Sir Richard Branson is in town himself to launch it wearing a very sparkly sequined captain's hat.
It's not like him to draw attention to himself.
I know. Yeah. It's got the Australian flag on it. He's going around encouraging people to take these cruises. It's cruises with a difference.
What's the difference?
No kids allowed.
Okay. Oh.
Adults only.
All right. Is this a swinger thing? Or?
Yeah, it sounds a bit.
Well, it's calling a tale like the adult to love sail. Boat. It's a partnership with Virgin Australia and a new ship for a voyage from Miami. And it's for top level voyages if people like to go on a boat with a whole bunch of people
like the
for a whole.
The fun ship to me.
No, it's not.
Remember the Fairstar?
I do.
Or as I used to call it, HMAS herpes.
Well, this might be a fancy way to get herpes. Just a bit fancier.
I'm sure, that's how Richard Branson would want to promote it, but.
On board, this is what happens. It's all inclusive.
If it's rocking, don't bother knocking.
No, all inclusive experiences. They don't charge people for lots of extra things. So included in your fares is all your restaurant eating, and there's over 20 restaurants.
Yeah, but we all know how that goes, though, isn't it? I mean, and normally these ships are coming in. Everyone's got salmonella or
then no one wants to eat anyway. Kind of so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, eat all you all like, right. But you're going
to. I'm trying to talk this up. Come on.
Popping off the side of the boat.
No, they might pick me and say, Jane, do you want to test it out?
While we're doing circle work out in the ocean.
Do you want to go on one? Let's see if we can go and we'll test it out.
I thought the whole point of a cruise was a family holiday because the kids could run in any direction and not get in trouble.
Like, you're on a boat. I've done a family cruise. I've done one that was a.
And you're a lazy parent. You're notoriously lazy.
I am a lazy parent. Ours was SpongeBob SquarePants themed. It was Nickelodeon cruise.
Was that fun?
Yes.
The kids just stayed on their slides and went down. It was super cheap. They went on slides and pools all day. We had SpongeBob.
Mum's at the bar.
I was on a lounge.
Don't you get seasick though? Is it like?
No. It's not like Gillian's Island.
So what are you doing on an adult cruise? Is it singles or are you with, what's the idea?
Well, it features, I'm
confused.
There's 2,770 guests allowed. It's adults only.
Yes.
It's sort of designed like a sleek yacht and there's a tattoo parlour on board. I'll tell you what, Triple M audience are into this, trust me. Tattoos can also be accommodated for vegans because they have vegan ink.
Why would I? I'd rather be on a boat with kids than a boat with vegans.
Getting tattoos.
Make no mistake.
There's a vinyl record store.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And Rockstar Suites, and there's 78 of those.
Swingers.
You get a wardrobe team will help you unpack a peekaboo shower.
Okay, well.
There you go.
Jeez.
No, peekaboo shower. I want to go on one of these and test it out.
What's a peekaboo shower?
And one of the things you can do.
Peekaboo shower doesn't sound illegal to me. It sounds like something you'd be. Look, our next case is charged with peekaboo showers.
sort of upskirting sort of territory, isn't it?
You're right. Hang on. They go, you download an app, and it's called Shake for Champagne. Anyone on board our ship...
Is this a real ad? You're being punchy.
You're making this up.
You shake your phone, and a bottle of champagne will be delivered to you within minutes.
He's a skipper, Captain Scatino. This sounds like the type of thing he would do.
I want to go on that cruise, please.
How
anyone listening,
who's Richard Branson's cruise?
Yes, it's a Virgin cruise ship. Well, I don't think it'll be a Virgin cruise ship. But you know what? It's cutting edge. Yeah. Virgin Voyages, that's what it is. Okay. Aye, aye, Captain. I'll be on board. Lauren Tweed, what was her name? Julie. Hi, I'm Julie from The Love Boat.
Okay, you're losing
What's happening?
That's wrong with you. Now, what else have you got? You got another one?
Now, I was telling you about this single woman who was travelling the world, and she was in front of the Eiffel Tower. And
she should go on the cruise, I reckon. She'll have a ball on the cruise.
She was in front of the Eiffel Tower, and she went, God, it's just so boring just with myself. She was sick of seeing Instagram pictures of couples having a romantic kiss in front of iconic
the Eiffel Tower.
Images.
Yeah, sure.
So she was. She just picked out the hottest guy she could see. And she went up to him and said, "Excuse me, would you mind if you pash me in front of the Eiffel Tower?" Had a photo. And she
good
went,
on her.
Then she went to Rome. She goes, "Oh, in front of the Colosseum. Excuse me, do you mind if you give me a kiss?" She's done in front of the Empire State Building on the top of the Empire State Building.
Do you want to dry hump me in front of the Louvre?
I think that is very, very clever. On? She's from Kosovo. Her name's Christiana Kukui. And she is going around, so, you know, you never know where you might
She
really
does
go.
Need
She's
to get
gorgeous.
On the cruise.
I
she
like
is. If I did that, I'd be end up in jail. Hi, I've just, would you
Correct.
Mind?
Correct. You would be. Aren't we lucky that women can
Saddam
have that?
Statue?
Women are allowed to do that because it's about time.
Because it's two worlds.
Because we can. It's two worlds.
All right. I think I'm going to have to stop you there.
Really?
I think you've gone too far.
I've overstepped the mark with the cruise.
Mm, yeah.
Too much cruise talk?
Too much cruise talk.
All right.
Bring back the fair start of the friendship.
I'm off
That's
for
what
it.
I would do. If you could find that, get that back out on the road. Oh, fond memories for me.
Do they have an app that brings you champagne?
You would have had your held someone hold your hair back on the fair start. Yeah, all right. When we come back, we've got a couple of things to address. But
we do.
Almost Colorado time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm off for a peekaboo shower too.
Drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The Holden, Colorado, which is now backed with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4
You're
range.
Kidding me.
True. Can I say this? We read out the most trusted brands in Australia as voted by the research house Roy Morgan. You've left one out.
Majorly.
It's the Holden and the Colorado
the Holden,
specifically.
Colorado.
In fact, I trust with my life
I'll put it
the
number
Holden,
one.
Colorado. I would sit behind the wheel of that before any of the other.
Correct.
Machines made for the road. I just cannot tell you how much I admire and covet.
And all it has to offer, including a 7-year warranty, which we go, is that fair
income? Much.
It is fair income.
It's too much. It's
because
being
they
silly.
Have so much faith and trust in the products.
They are the big kahuna,
they
as
are.
Far as I'm concerned.
Most trusted.
Let's
for
talk
us.
To David, who owns a Holden Colorado. David, how long have you had the Colorado? And you've given your Colorado a name. What is it?
Yes, so I have. It's the bear.
The big bear. The bear. Yeah.
Oh. Sort of matches my personality with the beard and tattoos and everything.
Oh, good on you.
Because you sleep a lot.
I'm not going to that.
I'm visualising you. I'm visualising you now, David. You're a big, big unit with a beard, tats.
We have to be a big presence to get behind the wheel of the Holden Colorado.
Tell us what you've done with yours. Came white in colour, didn't it? What'd you do?
Yes, it did. Brand new in 2014. Was white. Now it's a military green.
Military green.
I'm
you got the camo look. I love this.
Looks good.
You can drop this behind enemy lines and frighten the bejesus out of the enemy.
Cost a bit, but well worth it. It's perfect off road. Doesn't scratch. So.
And where have you taken it off road? Where have you taken it?
Oh, I've taken it pretty much around Victoria.
Did you take your wife through the Victorian Otways for your third anniversary?
Oh. Yes, we
what
did.
What a lucky woman
Adorable.
She is.
well, bit to that, but she was lucky at the start, but I decided to take a track and unfortunately got stuck there for a few hours.
Oh, I bet you did.
I'm sure you planned
was the Colorado rocking?
Yeah, well, it wasn't back then, but she wasn't too impressed.
Well, what'd you do? You bog it?
Yeah, but I completely bogged it. Had to call the cops. Everything had to get a ride back into the town. The only problem was the local pub there. They were having a footy game, actually, and there was no one at the pub.
There's no one at the pub.
So no one could help you?
So no one could help.
Well,
old bloke across the road who had an old Subaru Forester that had seen better days, and he decided to pull me out. There's a few little details I'll leave there.
Now, I presume you've got plenty of recovery gear on board now.
Now, yes, definitely.
And I'm loving your tyres too. What have you done there?
With the what, sorry?
The tyres.
Oh, they're just big 35-inch mud tyres.
Oh, I like them.
Yes, they're grouse.
Good luck bogging those. Yeah. And what do you do for a crust, Bear?
The car's the bear. I work on servo sites and stuff. Making them look good.
Oh, good on you.
So you get around. It's a great vehicle to get around in.
I thought you were a gardener. You're not a gardener?
No, I am. Yes, yes.
Yeah, like Don Burke.
Don't say that. Paul Costa.
Hey, mate, you're a superstar.
Thank you, David. We love you.
We love the bear.
Good on
you have a very lucky wife who's been taken on a dream ride through the Victorian Otways in the bear. Well done. God love it. Well done, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good on you.
See ya. Prize as well. Thanks to Kennedy Malloy. Prize back your way. And thanks to the Holden Colorado. Now back with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Missed any of today's show, including our chat with Jim Jefferies from LA. Grab the podcast.
He's a good bloke, Jim, and I really enjoy speaking with him.
We're running an online poll at the moment. Would you rather be on a cruise with kids or vegans? Kids are winning in a landslide. 69-31. Get your votes in.
My God, you're joking.
That's a little something to get on with. Now, earlier on the show, we were talking about trusted brands, and Victor came up.
Victor Lawnmowers.
And we had this exchange on this very program. Jane, a trusted brand for you?
Victor Lawn Mowers, yeah.
Zippity doo da, zippity day.
Is that the thing?
My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Yeah, where's the Victor part?
Whether it's sunshine or whether it's rain.
With my Victor mowing my way.
It's a Victor.
Really?
Is it?
Making that all up. Do you have a fever dream or something?
What?
I heard that before.
A fever dream, Dave.
You're making that up.
Is it a fever dream or a Bieber dream?
That's interesting that you would say that, isn't it? Because we've been having a look on the internet and and found this jingle from 1973.
Sip on the doodad, hear all the news. Three mighty new victors in colourful hues. You mark three engine, whichever you choose. And famous tip starter that's simpler to use. Serves zip on the dude.
Oh,
you'll hear people say.
Thank you.
Better than well.
But there is a more upbeat, proper one. That's a variation. Is the one that I sang is highly like
was that,
the original.
What was that, 1970? I wasn't born then, so I wouldn't know.
It was a real hit for
I've got this one here.
What's this one?
This summer, Victor celebrate their 4 million pounds.
You just got someone to go in a studio there.
So, sorry, Michael.
Don't. You win this time, Malloy.
Yes, Jane.
Damn you, Malloy. Yes.
Once again.
I've never heard that.
As I said, I wasn't around at the time. I wasn't born yet. So
you were.
Obviously, that was somewhere in Canberra, was it? Is that when you were growing up in Canberra?
It's universal. Victor was one of the first great Australian brands back in the day.
You were born a long time ago.
Like Brute 33. Was that Australian?
Yeah. Oh, there was a big
deal. Is that Australian?
Where would you be without?
Hey, can we do please before we sign off, and we're about to.
We'll do a bushfire update.
Let's go to New South Wales first, and I believe the Pacific Highway has been closed between Grafton and Ballina, so you need to know that. And a fire has arrived on Sydney's North Shore
near South Tarramurra, actually.
Tarramurra. Yeah. So it was 30 minutes ago. I think it was declared out of control, but it may have been reined in. Try and check local sources there. 78 fires in New South Wales, 40 which are not contained.
And I think there's still, you know, between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight. It's still about 35 degrees in Sydney.
Yep.
And I think there's still concerns about what's going to take place.
All right.
This late at night.
Queensland needs to brace itself. I think they're still suggesting tomorrow could be a terrible day. Up north, so
keep on board with those apps also that you are advised to download as well. And the New South Wales bushfire line is 1-800-679-737.
Okay. Now, what did you say you're doing tonight? What are you cooking? What are you cooking?
Well, I'm having oysters from the market and tuna tartare.
I don't think you can say
that. Is there a special... That's a type of thing that you wouldn't eat in a cruise. That'd blow
up. You just get a nice cut of tuna and you add a bit of Tabasco sauce.
What's wrong with minimum
shallots.
Chips? We have the guy on who's serving minimum chips.
Bit of olive oil.
Oh, pardon me.
Sea
and you're
salt.
Not even cooking the stuff.
No, I'm cooking it.
We're talking about
minimum
chips and some fish. Did we work out what the best day for market for fish was?
Well, I say Tuesday, Thursday.
Well, what,
is
for,
good
your,
days.
For your tuna, for your tartare?
Oh, well, that's not too
pardon
posh. Having
me,
tuna,
your majesty.
Is it?
What happened to the old crab stick? Turn your nose up at a crab stick.
Crab stick.
Bit of battered fish.
It's
no,
not even crab sticks.
I want some
even
oysters
crab.
And a tuna tartare.
It's not even real crab.
Are you having
crab
the tartare
stick?
Or salmon tartare?
I'm having tuna tartare.
Oh,
as I said, James. You can say that.
And you know what I'm going to then I thought you're going to have a peekaboo shower. Hey, that's the to me. That's the one today. What the hell is a peekaboo
well,
shower?
Well, sounds very hidden camera to me. I think there's going to be a very litigious
I'm having a shower. Peekaboo, what are you doing? Get out. I'm not here for that.
I still want to go on one. And I'll report back.
There we go. We'll do a show from a cruise.
Let's do a show from a peekaboo shower.
Matt Preston is in studio to join us tomorrow. We'll see you for a big Wednesday, Kennedy Malloy.
Another Kennedy Malloy adventure is complete. And with the Holden Colorado, every day is an adventure. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details.